What do you call an accident between dinosaurs?
I don't know what.
A T-Rex.
You're tuning into the Children's Hour. This is Katie 9.9, KUNM and KUNM.org, live and local from the University of New Mexico.
Police, right here on the Children's Hour from a long time, big time release Synchronicity and Walking in Your Footsteps. Indeed, we seem to be. This is the Children's Hour right here on KUNM, your community powered radio station for Central and Northern New Mexico. Good morning to all our listeners listening on the internet from all over the world and to everyone in New Mexico. And good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
There are only three kids.
I know, it's so crazy. Usually our crew has
16 or 19.
Crazy number of kids. And today there's three. But hey, let's say hi. Let's start with you.
Hi, it's Ava.
Hi, it's Sean.
Hello, it's Emma.
And in front of you happen to be what? Talk to us.
Dinosaur things, fossils. Dinosaur eggs.
They even brought fossilized poop.
Yes, fossilized poop that smells like dirt now.
That's good. I'm glad it smells like dirt.
Yeah, there's a lot of fossils and casts and stuff in the studio.
Yes.
There's actually a real live dinosaur here, too.
No yeah. way. Wait, is that him? Wait, her?
What?
Catch him, Katie. He's heading for the hole.
He's going to eat all their equipment. Oh, no. Well, we'll get a hold of that. That we have guests who are going to be on the show today from the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. And... Whoa. I know. It's one of my favorite museums. You love this museum?
Yes.
Has everyone
it's
been
like
there?
It's my favorite museum ever.
Why?
Yeah.
I call it. I just love it.
I call it the dinosaur museum.
So I did too.
Since I was like a three-year-old.
I went digging through some dirt and I found a bird bone.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Bird
out
bone.
Out of a bunch of stuff, and me and my friend were digging, and I found this weird shaped rock, and I asked my mom, what is it? And then we went to the natural history, and they said it was a bird bone.
That is so cool, Ava.
Very cool.
You know, we're going to learn about that, how you can actually bring in your suspected fossils and get them identified at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. But even more than that, New Mexico is known as the fossil state. Did you know that?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
I knew we were.
Absolutely.
I knew we were the land of enchantment, but
it's the land of enchantment apparently for lots of creatures for millions and millions of years, and folks have lived here who are not necessarily human folks way back before this was even land and it was an ocean. And we're going to learn so much more about our natural history here in New Mexico, but especially one of our favorite topics of all on the Children's Hour, dinosaurs.
Woo!
We are so happy you're with us. Stick with us. This is the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. And a little Johnny Cash for your morning.
Dinosaurs lived a long time ago. They were terrible lizards, don't you know? Some ate plants and some ate meat. Some ate fish and some ate beets. One was called a Diplodocus. One was bigger than your school bus. One was called a Triceratops. Three horns to stop anything it hops. Now, can't you just see yourself walking along, leading your pet Trachodon, or feeding your Brontosaurus Rex, or scratching your Diplodocus neck, or riding on a Stegosaurus back, or swimming in a Brachiosaurus track? Oh, what a time and oh, what fun playing tag with your Iguanodon. And if we had dinosaurs now, could they get along with a horse and a cow? Well, I wish they hadn't have become extinct. Dinosaurs would be nice pets and friends to have around to run outside and play with every day, don't you think?
Johnny Cash from an album called the Johnny Cash's Children's Album, the Dinosaur Song. You're tuned to the Children's Hour right here on KUNM. And we're pretty excited because in the studio, not only do we have dinosaur fossils, the real deal, like as in real teeth, real poop, real eggs, we have some casts and we have some toys and we have some dinosaur experts. Mike Sanchez and Deb Novak are educators from the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you so much for having us.
Good morning and thank you.
We're really thrilled you're here. And I guess there's so many questions we have about dinosaurs, but I guess we should start off with what's the deal with New Mexico and dinosaurs? Why are we called the fossil state?
Well, one of the really cool things about New Mexico is that you can see the ground, which is important to being able to find fossils. So if you're walking around and you're in the middle of a woods or middle of wherever, it's very difficult to look at the ground. Here we have lots and lots of exposed soil, lots of areas where we have erosion occurs. And where there's erosion and where things of water has sort of worn away the ground, it exposes fossils. And so literally every single county in New Mexico, there are fossils have been found in them. Every single county.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, like even here in Bernalillo.
Even in Bernalillo. Mm-hmm.
In our own backyard.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's a gravel pit that is on Manal and it's not too far from here, actually, where they found a whole camel skeleton right in the gravel pit. And that camel is now mounted over at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History. You can go see it.
Wow. Did you all know that? No.
No.
Well, okay, let's get into more questions about dinosaurs. There's a lot of questions in the room from kids, but you brought a lot of stuff. Explain to us. I mean, I'm looking at some of these things that you say, and we're taking pictures, posting them to our Facebook page, which you can find at KUNM Kids. I'm looking at any number of these things. Without your little tags, pretend those aren't there. How do you know that's a dinosaur bone?
Well, there's a couple of different ways to figure out if something is a bone.
Okay, I'm holding this one, which is a real dinosaur mm-hmm. bone.
And I picked up another one so that the kids on this side of the room have another example. If you look at the ends of that, what shapes do you see? Do you see it in the surface of it?
I see lines on this side, like mm-hmm. like on the side there's lines, and on the end it's kind of lumpy.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath, well, I mean, I guess I see lumpy lines. What am I missing? I'm not a paleontologist.
Oh, I think everybody's a paleontologist because we all like digging in dirt. And at some point in time, almost everybody has looked at a dinosaur skeleton somewhere and went, I wonder why. I wonder what. So on the one that you have over there, what are you seeing? Can you talk into the mic about what you're seeing?
Yeah, Ava, come right to your mic.
I'm seeing like squiggly lines and sort of dots on it.
Ah, sort of dots on it. And then there's
and it's
sides.
Sort of smooth on the sides.
Ah, and it's smooth on the sides. And you notice the smooth kind of lines on the sides as well.
Yeah.
Those tell us that they're bones. Bones have cells inside of them that transmit our nutrients in our bodies. And when it fossilizes, the bone, we can still see the shapes that the bone would have been when it was bone. It's now all turned to rock, but we can see those cells and we can see the shapes of the bone because if we pick that one up and look at the backs of people's necks.
Yeah, Ava, you appear to be holding a giant vertebrae.
It is giant, but it still looks like a vertebrae. The one that you are holding is a broken off tip of a bone, but it still has that ball joint shape that we see in our hips today.
That's a hip joint?
This one is not a hip, but it's a joint.
It's a joint of some kind? Yeah.
This one's from a foot.
Well,
but
no one would think that's a foot because it's huge. It's like the size of my hand, which then begs the other question. We had some big dinosaurs here, didn't we?
Ooh, huge.
We had, as a matter of fact, one of the largest dinosaurs ever discovered, which is called Seismosaurus. It's a long-necked dinosaur. That thing is 110 feet long.
Whoa.
Enormous.
Wow. 110 feet. I'm trying to make sense of that.
We actually have a tool here. We have something we can share with you guys. I don't know how it's going to work on radio, but we have something we can stretch out to show you how long that is.
Oh, we can.
Maybe the kids can talk us through it.
Yeah, okay. So 110 feet long. Did this dinosaur live? When did this dinosaur live?
This is a Jurassic dinosaur, about 150 million years old. It was found really interesting. It's just not far from Albuquerque. It's in San Isidro. And some people were out hiking, and they found this enormous bone sticking out of the ground. And sure enough, it was a dinosaur. They kept digging, and it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so pretty soon, here they have this enormous, enormous skeleton. Right now, what we're looking at is...
Her name is Siobhan, and Siobhan is down the hall with a ribbon, and she's just walking, 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 walking. This is how long this dinosaur was?
She's made it to the door.
She still needs to go a little farther.
She made it to the door.
Yeah, and then if Emma can take this end that way, because we're still not at its nose to tip of tail length.
She may have to go out the door.
Open up the door. It's still going.
Whoa. So 110 feet is so long. This dinosaur would not have been a guest on the Children's Hour because we couldn't get this dinosaur even remotely in our studio. I wish I could impart to you all, if anyone's ever visited KUNM, and hey, if you haven't visited KUNM, now's a good time to sign up for the fall fundraiser and work in our phone room. And when you come to visit, if you can imagine a ribbon stretched from the far corner of our control room where we're broadcasting from, all the way down the hall, through the door.
Out the door,
down that hall, that's about the size. Why are they so big? And what on earth did they eat?
Well, the why they're so big is still actually something that is being argued about by scientists. A lot of things get bigger as they evolve through the years. But the first dinosaurs were really, really tiny. Our state dinosaur, the Coelophysis, is no taller than you are.
Ava's probably about 4'6".
In school, I learned about the the tallest creature that ever lived was a Diplodocus.
It was enormous. And this was an animal, a Diplodocid. So it's actually very closely related to Diplodocus, which is kind of neat.
A Diplodocus, a Diplodocid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
There's another joke working in there, right?
I'm working it out in my head right now.
Diplodocid, Diplodocus. So wait, like Diplodocid as like, it sort of sounds like Diplodocid because it's the kid of the Diplodocus.
And what do they do when they kiss? Diplodocus.
They're just kidding. terrible. Oh. We have some bad. It's punny in here. So why were there lots of giant dinosaurs in the Jurassic? Is that a period of giantness of
that
beings
is
in general?
Long.
They're dinosaurs that were of every size during all the periods of dinosaurs. Some of them were really, really big. Other ones were small. So it just happens that in New Mexico, during the Jurassic, there were some super big dinosaurs. There were also super big dinosaurs during the Cretaceous.
Now, which came first, the Cretaceous or the Jurassic? Walk us through the periods, if you will.
Okay, so the oldest time of the dinosaurs is called the Triassic. Then you have the Jurassic. And then you have the Cretaceous. The Cretaceous only ended about 65 million years ago.
Only.
The oldest known dinosaurs, actually, or some of the best known dinosaurs, are from New Mexico, and they are about 215, 220 million years old.
Wow. So now I have to. It begs many questions, obviously. Emma, do you want to ask any particular question?
I had a question that I thought of in the car. Did the Mosasaurus dinosaurs exist in New Mexico?
If you remember from Jurassic World, was that the last one, Jurassic
World? Yeah, Jurassic World.
Where the Mosasaurus comes out of the sea, and if you've never seen that movie.
It's a pretty compelling scene.
It looks like an eel, but it's... I mean, that's probably a very poor description from your point of view.
It looks more or less like a giant orca whale with kind of more of like a Tyrannosaurus-like mouth, but kind of like a crocodile with flippers.
And weren't they gigantic as well here? Okay,
so we did have Mosasaurs here in the Cretaceous. But Mosasaurs actually aren't dinosaurs.
Wait a second.
It was in Jurassic Park, but it's not a dinosaur. Do you know why it's not a dinosaur? Do you know how we tell what a dinosaur is?
No.
How we tell the difference.
Okay, there's no and no and no.
Okay, so we need to do some education right now. We need to talk about what makes a dinosaur a dinosaur. So one of the things is dinosaurs lived on land. Some of them swam a little bit occasionally. Spinosaurus was partially aquatic. We've shown some of that from their body type. But it still came out on land and spent most of its time on land. So if it swam in the water like the Mosasaur and lived in the water full time, it is not a dinosaur.
It is instead
prehistoric reptile.
Prehistoric reptile, yes.
Uh-huh. No wonder Mosasaurs are scary. They're like alligators?
Well, a similar lifestyle. Ugh. The other scary thing about them, since we're talking about them, is if you go into the museum and look at our Mosasaur and you look in its mouth, not only does it have those rows of teeth that you see in its like smile, but at the back of its mouth, up on its palate, there's another row of teeth to help it gulp down its food and
really kill you.
And really, okay. Really, really kill you and kind of cut you up too so that you're easier to digest.
Goodness.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That's scary.
If you are just tuning in, this is the Children's Hour. We are talking with Deb Novak and Mike Sanchez. They're educators at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. We are going to come back to you and talk some more about dinosaurs of New Mexico. You know, dinosaurs are prolific here. Probably prolific everywhere, but it's not every day a 9-year-old trips on a dinosaur bone and makes a giant discovery. And actually, that was a mastodon bone, but makes a huge discovery. Or a 3-year-old is digging in the sand in his backyard, like what happened here in Albuquerque, and found a bunch of dinosaur eggs. This doesn't happen just anywhere. This is one of the things that keeps New Mexico enchanted. And come back with us in just a minute for the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science educators Mike Sanchez and Deb Novak right here on the Children's Hour. We thought we needed a little of this.
I recall the mosquitoes, and before long they were cloning DNA. Now I'm being chased by some irate velociraptors. Well, believe me, this has been one lousy day. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone shut the fence off in the rain. I admit it's kinda eerie, but this proves my chaos theory. And I don't think I'll be coming back again. Oh no! I cannot approve of this attraction, 'cause getting disemboweled always makes me kinda mad. Tyrannosaurus ate our lawyer. Well, I suppose that proves they're really not all bad. Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark. All the dinosaurs are running wild. Someone let T-Rex out of his pen. I'm afraid those things will harm. They sure don't act like Barney, and they think that I'm their dinner, not their friend. Oh no!
Weird Al. Who else would that be? And Jurassic Park is frightening in the dark, especially when the gates don't work. Well, in real life, dinosaurs really did. This was Jurassic Park right here in New Mexico. If you went back a few, I don't know, tens of millions of years.
How could that be true?
It's so crazy to think about it. That like, where you live, dinosaurs roamed. There is no doubt about it. And in the studio with us are educators from the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. We have Mike Sanchez and Deb Novak. Deb, come back with us. What is a dinosaur?
So another defining characteristic is something that you guys have mentioned us in the studio a couple of times. We have eggs in the studio. Dinosaurs laid eggs.
Like birds.
Like birds.
Like
oh,
birds,
amazing. Thank
really
you for
bigger.
That. Because
much bigger.
They are bigger than some bird eggs, but have you seen an emu egg or an
yeah,
ostrich
like
egg? Those are kind of really big too. But dinosaurs, these eggs are actual casts, and then we have a real egg in the studio too. That's what even big dinosaurs came out of, relatively small size eggs.
And
isn't that amazing?
And they looked You have a baby dinosaur here, which I'm petting and taking good care of. And is this what they looked like?
That's what one baby looked like. Mike, can you talk about Cisco?
Cisco is a replica of a dinosaur called an oviraptor. And it's kind of really neat because did you know that this is kind of neat? In Argentina, they opened up some dinosaur eggs and they found skeletons inside of them, little embryos. And not only that, but they also found, this is really cool, skin imprints. So they were able to find out what the baby dinosaur looked like. And I think that's the neatest thing. So we know little bones, little skin prints.
Wow, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. And I have to ask, so dinosaurs, I always envisioned dinosaurs as sort of roaming uniquely this planet all on their own with maybe some turtles wandering around and some terrifying looking crocodiles. Yeah, exactly. But wait, was that really all that lived at that time?
No, there were a lot of other animals around at the same time as the dinosaurs. We, of course, had our insects, our arachnids. Yeah, the dragonflies were like, we had wingspans of like 6 feet long. Isn't that amazing? Like big insects too. Yeah. They had plants around them. In the Cretaceous, they had flowering plants. So one thing that blows my mind is the idea of imagine a dinosaur next to a rose bush.
Wait, were there roses?
There were flowers. There were flowering plants started. I don't know that we had roses like we have roses now because we've bred roses to look the way they look. But they had flowers next to them. The dinosaurs also had little squirrel-like mammals running around. The biggest one was about the size of a house cat, so they had those. There were fish in the seas. There were sharks.
Do we know if the dinosaurs ate those mammals?
Well, most animals will eat whatever they can catch if they are predators and they like. So,
I saw a pretty interesting documentary about some Coelophysis and Compsognathus that they chased after some mammal-like reptiles at the time and small mammals and had caught them and ate them.
We have just a few minutes before the bottom of the hour, but it begs the question about the Coelophysis, since Emma brought up our state dinosaur, our official state dinosaur. Are we the only state with a state dinosaur, maybe, or one of the only states for sure?
Other states have state fossils as well. I'm just not familiar with every one of them, but I do know that New Mexico's state fossil is Coelophysis. It's a little dinosaur that was found up in Ghost Ranch, and there are dozens and dozens of skeletons that are stacked up on top of each other in this big quarry. And if you come to the museum, you'll actually get to see a big chunk of this rock where all the skeletons have been cleaned off, and you can see everything from the little eye rings and their little teeth all the way down to the tips of their tails and their little tips of their toes.
Oh, my goodness. And why the Coelophysis, describe it. Little guy, mean. Mm. I see this little tiny replica, but he wasn't that little.
No, he wasn't that little. But Emma, can you describe what you're holding in your hand? What kind of face shape did he have?
Elongated.
Very, very long. And then very sharp teeth, right?
Were they like the size of a big dog?
They were about 3 to 4 feet high.
So like a mini pony.
And very long tail as well. Little hands. And so what they think happened in Ghost Ranch was a whole bunch of these guys were hunting in a pack, running along the riverside, looking for those insects we talked about, looking for those smaller dinosaurs that they could eat, looking for other reptiles, looking for possibly eggs or fish. And they think a big flood came along, and that's what we have flash floods here in New Mexico. We did millions of years ago, too. It swept up this whole pack of Coelophysis, and they all drowned and died and got stuck in one place in a corner of a riverbed. And millions of years later, we found them.
They wouldn't make good pets, probably, Coelophysis. They have huge teeth. They have long, skinny faces. My guess is that long tail, which is almost the size of their body, was probably used as a weapon.
It could be. I've been hit by an iguana tail once. I don't ever want to experience that again. And that tail was probably about a third of the size of a Coelophysis tail. So
that is amazing. We're talking with Deb Novak and Mike Sanchez from the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. We'll be right back with them in just a minute.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is KD9.9 KUNM and KUNM.org, live and local from the University of New Mexico.
You're not the right shape, and you're not the right size. You don't get along with others, but you need to realize that the actors in the movies are not what you're supposed to be. You are good the way you are, 'cause you're you, that's best you see. We've all been looking for role models and turned our eyes to Hollywood, but that's not where to find them. Look to yourself, yes, that is good, it's okay. Velociraptor, don't be sad. Velociraptor, 'cause you're the size of a turkey, not a lion. Can't turn a knob and don't have friends to rely on. The movies have created an unattainable expectation. The raptors in those films were a fictional creation. Don't judge yourself too hard, Velociraptor. You are good the way you are, Velociraptor. Rawr, Velociraptor. Rawr, Velociraptor.
Did we have velociraptors in the state of New Mexico?
We have dromaeosaurs, which were close relatives, and we actually have a little toe bone, which is about an inch long, which is really pretty cute, of a very close relative to Velociraptor. Indeed, we do.
Mike Sanchez is an educator from the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, here with Deb Novak, another educator, and we're talking about dinosaurs of New Mexico. You are in the best state for dinosaur hunting in the nation. If you're listening online out of town, yet another reason to come to New Mexico. Ava, let's talk about it. Ava has something she'd like to share with you all.
I have a wiggly tooth.
That's fantastic, Ava. Let's see you wiggle it. Ew, it's really wiggly. Yuck. And is this your first?
No, it's my eighth.
So tell us, we know cats and dogs lose teeth too, baby mm-hmm. teeth, and grow big teeth.
They also lose nails. I found my cat's nail once.
Gross. but we don't know about nails. Dinosaurs, teeth?
They would replace them all the time. So a dinosaur would lose a tooth, grow a tooth, lose a tooth.
Grow it.
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 Seriously, endlessly? How do we know they did this endlessly? How can we know this?
We know that because, actually, this is kind of really cool. One of the dinosaurs that we have at the museum is called the Bisti Beast. And they did an x-ray, and sure enough, they could see underneath the tooth, one of the teeth that was in, you could see a tooth that was coming in underneath it. And like most reptiles, a lot of animals, they're constantly replacing their teeth. And you can see it with dinosaurs.
Are you holding teeth? We're whispering about them, but are these teeth?
These are other teeth. We've talked about the big, sharp, pointy teeth, the grabby teeth, the rippy teeth, but there's other kinds of teeth too, because dinosaurs didn't just eat other dinosaurs or those fish. So here's a couple of other teeth that we have. We have some grindy teeth.
Oh, they look almost like elephant teeth. They're very wide. Is that a molar, sort of?
No. I asked them if it was a molar.
It's not
a
molar.
And so what do you remember us saying?
It's a whole row of teeth.
Ew. that's a whole row now of frightening-looking teeth. Sorry, go ahead.
It says it's from the Anatosaurus, which is a duckbill dinosaur, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Dang,
from what it says here.
Good for you. Yeah. Duckbill dinosaur. And you've got a nice big old tooth there.
I've got another big old tooth that looks kind of like a peg with a little bit of a spoon end on it. And if you imagine a whole row of those, we can model this with our fingers. You won't see this at home, but you can take your hands, put your fingers out, put one hand underneath the other hand, and act like those are rakes raking leaves off of a tree. Great big rakes.
So those would have been like those giant guys with their long necks. I say guys, they're probably girls.
There were girls too.
Long necks, and they're up and they're, this mm-hmm. is sort of the classic long-necked dinosaur, as some of us adults call them.
Yes.
It was like a living rake, just raking leaves off the trees all day long.
Wow.
And those teeth didn't chew very well. They were like rakes. So guess what happens once you swallow those big loads of raked teeth?
Anyone? What happens when you swallow a big load of anything?
You can't really digest it without help. So they swallowed stones?
They did indeed. They swallowed stones. And we have some smooth stones called gastroliths with us, which They just look like river pebbles. They're smooth rocks. But they were found in the rib cages of dinosaurs.
So this is how you know these were. I'm looking at this rock and thinking, how on earth do you know this was in a dinosaur?
I could have just gone out to a river and
you
picked it up.
You could have gone out
I
in front of KUNM and picked this up in the landscaping. But this is really from the inside of a dinosaur's body?
Yep.
That's amazing.
And if anybody at home or here keeps chickens, if you watch your chickens, they'll pick up little stones that the modern birds do the same thing. Amazing.
So now we have to. Okay, go ahead, Ava. Go ahead.
I used to take care of a chick, but it got eaten by a raccoon.
That's a bummer.
But my grandma's taking care of some eggs that I got, and they're already fertilized.
That's pretty great. But now I have to ask you a question about dinosaurs again, Deb.
And one is green. One of the eggs is green, and one is white, and one is brown.
That's beautiful, Ava. We assume dinosaur eggs had multiple colors, but we don't really know because they're fossilized now and turned to rock. Mm-hmm. But this is the question I have to ask you. It's the question that's going around the world right now. Are birds dinosaurs of today?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The answer is yes. People have done a lot of work on it, and they are pretty much the scientific world is in agreement. Birds are dinosaurs. So when you see that little sparrow outside your window, think, cousin to T-Rex.
The thing is it makes the T-Rex and all the dinosaurs seem a whole lot less frightening to think of them that way. But we should probably still be frightened by them.
This is what you should think of, the most scary bird you'd think of.
Okay.
Like a giant T-Rex.
Well, imagine that bird 40 feet tall. With big, huge teeth.
Well, and anyone who lives with chickens knows they're fairly random about what they eat. If it moves, that attracts their attention, and they'll eat anything. So that would be then more scary to think of a giant version of a chicken. Yes.
And they weren't very nice to each other either. T-Rexes frequently have bite marks all over them from each other. They have broken bones. They have all kinds of things. So they were chomping on each other. They were chomping on other things. So, it would have been a messed up bird.
That is actually not too different from how birds and chickens at least treat each other. We talk about the pecking order, and they're very unfriendly. Anyone who keeps chickens knows they're very unfriendly to each other. But the obvious question then that it goes following that is, so we have this image of dinosaurs as leathery, like an alligator. Are you saying that they had feathers?
Not all dinosaurs. Some dinosaurs were leathery. Some dinosaurs we have actual skin prints from some dinosaurs found in the fossil record. So we know about some of them were scaly. Some of them could have had, there's leathery-like impressions. They were reptiles, related to reptiles. And so if you look at your average lizard, that's probably what a lot of dinosaurs looked like. But we are now finding more and more evidence of feathers on certain lines of dinosaurs. So it's not like every single dinosaur had feathers.
Talk for a minute about New Mexico's unique discoveries of dinosaurs. We've discovered dozens and dozens of dinosaurs in the state of New Mexico that have gotten names of their own. Thinking of the Bisti Beast, named after, I would assume, the Bisti Badlands, and so many others. The Zuni Ceratops, presumably named after Zuni Mountains.
The Zunis, right. Alamosaurus, which is named after the Alamo Wash, which is here in New Mexico. It's a long-necked dinosaur. And Deb happens to be holding a book that has loads of dinosaurs in it. Another one that was called Pentaceratops, or the Five-Horned Dinosaur, is New Mexico, although one was recently found in Colorado. Shucks.
Oh, well. Well, I guess
that picture on the cover is the same as they have a toy of the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty neat.
Here are just different colors.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So, I mean, there weren't state lines. It's not like they had to, they didn't know they were in Colorado. The Parasaurolophilus. That was a New Mexico dinosaur discovery?
Absolutely. It was discovered. That was one that a crew found here in the museum. And Tom Williamson took it to have it looked at, and they did a scan on it, and they were able to look inside the nose. It had a super long, they call it the trombone dinosaur, because it had a super long, long crest that was hollow, and it could have made the sound kind of like a deep trombone-y kind of a sound. And that one was found in New Mexico.
Any others that are particularly unique to our beautiful state?
We have Camarasaurus. There were like 25 to 50 different species of dinosaurs have been discovered in New Mexico. So we have a lot of dinosaur species.
And you have a lot of actual... I'm thinking about what happened last year, an entire stegosaurus, am I right? Stegosaurus baby? Am I remembering this correctly? Was it a stegosaurus baby? No,
it was the Pentaceratops.
Pentaceratops baby. You discovered an actual baby. And here's what I remember about this. You took a helicopter to gently lift this entire baby fossil out from where it was discovered, I think in the Bisti Badlands, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And tell us about that baby. And how did you know, I mean, other than it was smaller, what gives you a tip that it's a baby and not just a mini?
Well, actually, it is because it was smaller.
Oh, okay.
that was the clue. The paleontologist Amanda Cantrell was out. They were hunting in rocks that they knew had dinosaurs. It was an area that Pentaceratops had been found in before. And what you usually see on the surface is not the whole dinosaur laid out before you. The paleontologists, they've looked at dinosaur bones enough, they've looked at other fossils enough, that they're scanning the ground looking for just, sometimes it's just a, like a thumbnail size spot in the rock that looks different. And Amanda saw a small chunk of rock that she knew that was a fossil. And so they cleaned it carefully, started cleaning it away, and what they found was the edge of a frill. So the Pentaceratops, if you look at his head, it has these edges that it kind of looks like a neck ruff or a ruffle. And she found just one of those, but it was small. It was much smaller than anything else. And so they dug another little area and they found some other bones that were smaller than usual. But you don't really know what you have until you clean it off. So they did. They airlifted those great big, they're called jackets, and it's just like a cast, to the museum. And we're cleaning that now. So we're still learning about that baby Pentaceratops.
And I want to ask you a little bit about what happens at the museum. When we go to your museum, the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, which if you've never been there, it is time to go. It is on Mountain Road at like 20th Street, 19th Street, 20th Street.
1801.
One of those. It's right there across from T-Way Park, and Explora is right there. It's a great little museum corner right by the Albuquerque Museum. But at your museum, you actually have paleontologists that we can watch working through glass. I always want to like bang on the glass and be like, hi, what are you working on? But what is that? What are those real scientists working?
Actually, those are mostly volunteers. So you too could become a fossil preparator at our museum if you go through the volunteer program. It takes a long while, and it takes a lot of time. It's painstaking work. You have to be very comfortable working slowly and meticulously. So those people are in our fossil works area, and then we also have a behind the scenes area where fossils get cleaned too. And it can take years. We're still working on that baby Pentaceratops that we removed. What was that now? Almost 2 years ago. They're only about halfway through. So who knows what else they'll find in the other half. There may be nothing. Amazing. There may be something.
That is so incredible. Other things, your museum doesn't just have dinosaurs. There's natural history of New Mexico. It's far more than just dinosaurs. There's the land's own history. We used to be an ocean. We hardly even touched on that. The landscape of New Mexico has changed quite dramatically over millions and hundreds of millions of years. And you can walk through that in the museum as part of your regular exhibits. But you have all kinds of things that are specialty exhibits that come and go. Tell us a little bit about those. Anybody?
Well, I'll tell you about one of my favorite objects in the museum is actually in our space science wing. We have the most beautiful moon rock I have ever seen on exhibit in a museum. It's a nice large chunk of rock that actually came from the moon, brought back by astronaut Harrison Schmidt, who is from New Mexico. We also currently have a wild music exhibit that's really amazing. You get to play your own music. You get to learn about the sounds of animals and how music happens.
Wow.
Mike runs our Naturalist Center, which is a great hands-on area to learn about current wildlife in New Mexico.
You get to handle snakes and spiders in there.
Bugs, snakes, you bet. Yeah, absolutely. We have all that kind of stuff there in the Naturalist Center. It's a place where people can actually touch real specimens. We do all kinds of stuff. We also loan materials to teachers. So we have fossils, minerals. seashells, all kinds of stuff. And if a teacher approaches us and says, we want to borrow something, we're more than happy to go ahead and loan it to them.
Gosh, that's great news. And then if we find I'm out hiking in the Rio Puerco, which is a wonderful place to go fossil hunting, tip to New Mexicans. I'm out hiking up the Rio Puerco. I find something and I think, is this a dinosaur egg? Can I just bring that to you all?
First off, I'd be very, very careful. Vertebrate fossils are protected. In other words, fossils that are animals with backbones, they essentially belong to whoever's property that's on. So if you're out in private property, you better check with the person who owns the property. If you're on state land, it belongs to the state. If it's on federal land, it belongs to federal. So if you think you found a dinosaur bone, one of the things I would dearly love you to do is take a picture of it, figure out where it is, bring it to our attention. And that way we can make sure that we can scientifically dig it up.
Because like we had recently have been having archaeologists on the show, and they were explaining when you pick up that pot shard and stick it in your pocket, the pot that might be underneath that you didn't see can now never be completed. And so this is sort of the same sort of thing. It's federally protected. So it's actually against the law to pocket that fossil.
That's very true. Although invertebrate fossils are different. So things with like seashells and what have you, you can probably pick those up very safely. And people do bring things in sometimes to identify. And then we say, well, where did you find that? And if we can go back to where they found it, that's pretty good.
That's really something.
It really is.
You have a traveling exhibit coming a Da Vinci thing coming in the spring. But your traveling exhibits, what's current? Is the music
one? The Wild
one?
Music one is our current
that is
traveling
exhibit.
That is
such a exhibit. Fun exhibit. If you haven't seen that exhibit, mm-hmm. You can really spend hours there. And we actually did. It was really great. So much more to talk to you about with fossils. We didn't even get into the fossilized poop that you have here in the studio. It's the only time we can use the word poop on the radio is when we're doing educational poop discussions. This actually looks like a chunk of poop. I mean, it really does look like poop. But is it heavy? Okay, he's handing it to me. No. Yes. Yes, it's heavy. No. Does it smell?
No.
It smells like dirt.
No, it smells like dirt. This is the real deal? This is real?
That is the real deal.
How do you know this is fossilized dinosaur poop?
Well, first of all, you have to find it in the right age rock. So if you're finding it in something that's more recent, it can't be dinosaur. If it's something older, it can't be dinosaur. And there's also some really kind of cool things. If you find coprolites, which is the right word for fossilized poop, and it has kind of a spiral line around it, that means that it came out of an animal with a spiral valve in its stomach or its intestines. And that, if it has a spiral, then we know that it's lungfish or shark or something else like that. But, well, you described it.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about the Titanoboa?
Other than it being really, really big, like 50 feet long, I don't know that much about it. But it did live during the very end of the days of the dinosaur, correct?
Ew. Is that like a boa constrictor?
Yeah,
giant?
Yeah, it's like an anaconda, but also mixed with a boa constrictor that lived in the water back then. But also sometimes got out of the water. I watched a movie, and it could kill crocodiles like this, but much bigger.
Oh. You know, it's good we're not alive in that time, now that I think of it. So as much as...
And I believe only one man got to see a Titanoboa.
Ooh, wow. I don't know about that. Whoa, okay. All right. Yes, Deb Novak, Mike Sanchez, they're from the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science. They're educators. Sounds like you have a lot of programs for teachers, families. You can come to the museum and learn a lot, but also you go to schools. Mm-hmm. I just caught you saying that right before we went on the air, and we have a lot of teachers who listen. If folks want to have you come to their class, who do they call? How do they make that happen?
Well, the easiest way is to go online and read the descriptions of what we offer, figure out what you might want to have, because we don't just do dinosaurs, as was said. We have bird kits, we have modern skeleton kits, we can actually teach about a wide range of natural history topics. And then we have a group registrar called Amanda Hauer, who is the first contact for any sort of group thing that you want to do, whether it's coming to the museum or having us come to you. We also try to have tables at many, many public events. We go to things like we were in Rio Rancho at their Mayor's Day event, sharing some of our items. We'll be at the Mama's Minerals Arts and Crafts Fair sharing things from the museum. So you'll see us out and about at large public events, too, and we're always happy to be invited to those.
You can find all of this information at nmnaturalhistory.org. You can also call you all at the museum. I wonder if you have that memorized. Let's see if I can find it.
I was just going to say, email works better than calling because we're often out. So you get our answering machines a lot, which is very disappointing.
You can just, and if you want to call and leave the answering machine message, it's 505-841-2800. Go online to nmnaturalhistory.org. It has tons of information about how you can best enjoy the museum and also learn more about the incredible bounty of dinosaurs in New Mexico. You have a lot of toys and things in here, and we're thrilled to death that you brought them. We're running out of time on the Children's Hour. Thank you so much, Deb Novak and Mike Sanchez, for being with us.
Our pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
It is really, we could go on, and I love that you're just so current as well. And it's not like the ancient history of the dinosaurs has stopped. That's what's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Whenever we hear about new discoveries and new species, it just helps us realize this is a very much emerging field. I mean,
yes,
not literally and figuratively. It's emerging from the ground into being so much more to learn.
Yeah, and they just figured out that you can figure out the color of some of the dinosaurs, which is when I was a kid, no one ever even dreamed that that could happen. It's amazing. They find dinosaurs with feathers, and they look at the feathers, and sure enough, they can tell from the pigment cells that are in the cell in the feathers what color they were. So there were brown dinosaurs. There were dinosaurs with reddish on top and white in the bottom. There were dinosaurs that were just every imaginable color, black, white, red. It's just amazing. And those are things that when I was little, had no idea. And you think about the kids now who are interested in becoming paleontologists. There's one standing here in the studio with us right now. What forms of discoveries she could make in her lifetime if she decides to go into paleontology.
It's so exciting. Thank you so much for being with us on the Children's Hour. The New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science is located on Mountain Road at 18th Street, right here in Albuquerque. Come give it a visit. It's a lot of fun, and spend a day. Thank you so much, you both, for being with us, Deb and Mike. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a dino with a low, low voice. It's not my fault. I had no choice. Everyone's afraid of me. I'm very nice. Why don't they see? I've got those dinosaur blues from my hat to my shoes. I'm so terribly blue. Oh, whoa, what can I do? I've got those dinosaur blues. I've got those dinosaur blues. Got no hat, don't have shoes. But I know if I had, I would still feel so bad. Oh, those dinosaur blues. Scariest guy. I am longing to play, but you all run away without saying goodbye. And I just wanna cry. I've got those dinosaur blues. How I wish I could choose that you would love me a lot, since I'm cute, but I'm not. I've got those dinosaur blues. Now no one expects a Tyrannosaurus Rex to be friendly and silly and shy. But if you knew me, you'd find that I'm gentle and kind. Yes, I'm really a sensitive guy. Oh, why am I the scariest guy? I am longing to play, but you all run away without saying goodbye. And I just wanna cry. I've got those dinosaur blues from my hat to my shoes.